May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Portrait of a disciple, people who trust. For these many weeks, we have been painting a portrait of what a disciple of Jesus looks like, genuine disciple of Jesus. Then we come to our gospel for this morning. And some of you, if not most of you, may say, well, this disqualifies me from being a disciple. How can I be a disciple if I can't stop worrying? So how many of you have conquered worry? There you don't have a day where you worry about anything. Well, you're out. You can't be a disciple. But note from the outset, Jesus is teaching the original 12 disciples about the foolhardiness of worrying when God's in control, that he has all power, and he loves us. He is teaching this lesson because these 12 disciples were worriers. That's why he was teaching them. A true disciple will spend his or her life maturing as a disciple. And that's why consistency is so important in our Christian life. Regularly worshiping our God, regularly studying the Bible and reading it, regularly associating with fellow Christians for encouragement and for correction, regularly praying and obeying. Consistency. Consistency. All these things are a top priority of a disciple's life. Now, I have never met a worryless person. Never once. But I have met Christians who have a lot more peace, who have a lot more trust in their lives than they do anxiety. And what I'm saying to you is, we're in school, and we can grow in trust. Let's face it, we live in a world that promotes anxiety and worry. People who like to worry have a greater and more varied number of things to choose from these days, don't they? Oh, I'm glad I can worry about this now. It's probably truer in the United States than in other areas of the world, because we have more to be concerned about. Years ago, when I visited the Peruvian hinterlands, I noticed how peaceful and seemingly happy people were. And they had very little. Now, I'm telling the truth, I would not have been happy living in the conditions that they lived in. I would not have been happy. So though I admired them, how in the world did they do that? I suppose we have gone from catalog-induced anxiety now to online-induced anxiety. We want more. We have more. Why do we want more? I don't think we can really answer that question. Susie and I recently bought a new car. Now we're worried where to park it. Before, when we were driving our 322,000-mile Impala, suitably banged up, we didn't care where we parked it. In fact, you were worried where we parked it. You know, it's just so easy to get sucked up in our culture. Maybe you remember that old MasterCard commercial. There are some things that money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. I really like the other one, too, that they had, and it fits today. You'll see why. It went like this. I bought a sombrero in Rio de Janeiro. So worldly, so welcome. MasterCard. Jesus opened discipleship school, and I'm still in it, and I hope you are too. Trust 101 begins with Jesus insisting that we focus on the natural world. Ravens. What do you know about ravens? I once bought a book about ravens. They take no precautions that we take to provide a constant supply of food. How foolish of them. And yet, they thrive because God provides. The lesson, we're infinitely more valuable than these birds. He provides. Look at the lilies of the field, beautifully arrayed. They can't toil or spin, but we can. They are, in a sense, clothed by God. These flowers have but a brief existence, but we have an immortal soul. The lesson, once again, we're infinitely more valuable than these flowers. He provides. School's in session. We take these examples. We think about them. Who is it that runs after more and more? Who thinks there is security and happiness in many possessions and much money? Who is selfish and worldly and heading for destruction? Who is covetous and vexed and anxious about material things? It's clearly those who don't know God, who haven't learned the lesson of the ravens and the lilies, and maybe who really don't want to know God because they are self-willed, idol worshipers, unbelievers. One of the great lessons that Jesus teaches his disciples is to have a loose hold on all things material. As the Apostle Paul wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you're going to trust him more. So how do we put the particulars of Jesus' message to work in our life? How do we fill out that portrait to become a genuine disciple of Jesus and trust him more and worry less? First, consider this. God is willing to transform your thinking. Your thoughts, everyday thoughts, have enormous power over your life. Wouldn't you agree? We can offer our minds, look up Romans 12, we can offer our minds for God to reshape the way we look at all things. By nature, we come into this world as worldly people who think about worldly things. We have no eyes for eternal things. But believers and disciples of Jesus have had their eyes opened. The Word of God, through the Apostle Paul again, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance. This said heart, but it can mean mind as well. Open our eyes. God reshaping our minds. The truth is that we get stuck in our way of thinking. And it turns us away from trust. We could call this the anxious mind, the worried mind, or we could simply call it stinking thinking. Thinking with no eyes to eternity, no heavenly mindedness for us because our eyes are closed. But God wants to change that. He wants to rewire our minds. And secondly, He would love us to listen to another voice besides the voices we listen to all the time, our own, other people's voice. Listen to the voice. Jesus made so many promises, like we have in our scripture this morning, that He also speaks the truth to us. In a world full of lies, He speaks the truth. He tells us not to fear what worldly people feel, because in essence, He's saying, I got you. I got you. I've given you eternal life, He says, so don't sweat it. Even if you perish in the storm, you won't perish. Even if we die, we don't die. The original 12 disciples saw Jesus in His non-anxious presence. Can you imagine what it would have been like to walk with Him, to hear His words, to be in His school directly? He was not an anxious person, not at all. Fully entrusted to the Father. But they too, at least 11 of them, slowly matured, became more trusting, more peaceful in their lives, and more bold. This is why it's a good thing to memorize scriptures. At least some of them. We set our minds on those divine thoughts that equip us for life. Now, there are hopeful scriptures, and there are also warning scriptures. And really and truly, we should abide by both kind of scriptures. But for the hopeful ones, the encouraging one, be still and know that I am God. Don't you love that one? It's one of my favorites. I will never leave you or forsake you, spoken to every disciple. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Yes. And how about the one in our scripture for today? Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow, what could beat that? And finally, let me urge you to ruthlessly unhinge. Let me explain. We love things so much that we can actually push God aside out of our love for things. We were once prisoners, captive by our worldly desires. But God, who is rich in mercy, has sent His Son to redeem us by His sacrifice, to bring us out and set us free. Temptation of our culture is to care so much about our possessions, to obsess over them, that we're enslaved again. Now, I'm not saying that we have to give everything away. In fact, I don't know that that's even God's will for you. It is for some people, but probably not the majority of us. He gave us those things. But our attitude ought to be caught up in our scripture today. Rightfully understood, we could sell our possessions and give them to the poor. They are just things. They are just things. They are not treasures. You have no treasures in your house. Your car is not a treasure. Your home is not a treasure. We talk about that, you know, these are treasures. But you have no treasures. They're not treasures. There's only one treasure. It's the kingdom. It's Jesus. That's the only treasure. So just to help you with that today, I'm going to come to a few homes today and just take some things. Wouldn't that be a good... You'd never forget it, right? You would never forget it. So if you would be kindly leave out some of your more expensive things on the counter. No. May we use the things that God has given us, but never let them use us. A disciple trusts a God who gives us all good things. The question I put before you today, are you willing to strive to mature in the Christian faith? If you will, the Holy Spirit will come in as coach and empower you. The result will be greater, greater trust in your Heavenly Father. So I exhort you, one, let God transform your thinking. Two, listen to the other voice. And three, unhinge yourself from an obsession over your possessions. This is the way of a disciple. Let us walk in it. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.